Good morning, brothers. It's a great privilege to stand before you to share the Word of God. Especially, I would like to thank Professor Sammy Williams for giving me this opportunity to share the Word of God. We are going through 2 Timothy, verse by verse. Today, I'm going to preach on Chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. I want to tell you about two incidents before I'm going to start my preaching. One pastor in AP is preaching the gospel. Some of the opponents did not like it. They're trying to beat him. He goes to share gospel some other villages. They recognized his schedule and his motorcycle by which he is coming to villages to share the gospel. They were ready one day to beat him, almost to kill him. They have recognized one motorcycle that is his. Then they caught that person and killed. Unfortunately, he did not go that time. His fellow worker went to share the gospel to that village. It is a warning to that pastor. If you come, we will kill you also if you share the gospel. The another incident I want to tell in Telangana. There was a pastor. He went to share the gospel. Opponent of the Christ. They caught him and they cut off his body's parts by parts, then packed his body in 50 kg rice bag. Do you know that? They parceled it and they threw it in the drainage. Why I'm telling these things? Because Jesus said, John Gospel chapter 15, verse 18 to 20, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before. It hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. These are the Jesus words. All will hate, all will persecute us. Even Jesus said, brothers, we are going to see the same exhortation from Paul. Paul is same exhorting Timothy, be ready to suffer when you are serving the Lord, when you are preaching the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. After this sermon, you will get encouragement from God. That is sure. Holy Spirit gives the strength to go through it. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 to 10. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The theme of this passage, we can say that suffering for the saving gospel without shame. Suffer for the saving gospel without shame. Verse 8 says, therefore, do not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel. Look at the word therefore. It is taking us back to verse 7. You see, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. If God gave that courage to you, therefore, do not be ashamed of our testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, suffer with me. If you see, verse 9 and 10 are just talking about the gospel. The content of the gospel is God saves us. So this is saving gospel. We are going to look at that. You see, verse 10, part B, Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. So look at Paul's words. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of Lord. The meaning of the word ashamed is experiencing painful feeling or a sense of loss of status. Here Paul is commanding Timothy that he should not be ashamed. He should not experience a sense of loss of status in the society while he is preaching about Christ. He should not feel ashamed of him. For example, we know, is there any son who is not faithful but sinful? His parents do not share about him to anybody else. They won't like to share about him. If son has a job, son is having job and he is faithful and doing good things for them, then they used to share about his sons, even though people won't ask them. But here Paul is encouraging Timothy, why should you be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord? If you see this verse, that word, it says the testimony of our Lord. The testimony belongs to our Lord. But our Lord, you see, our Lord, possessive pronoun. Our Lord, he is our Lord. If he is our Lord who created heaven and earth, the testimony belongs to him. So we should not be ashamed of him. We should not be ashamed of his gospel, his testimony. Testimony is talking about Christ's death and resurrection, saving gospel. We should not be ashamed of it. Paul is commanding. He is not requesting. He said, do not be ashamed. It is a command. At the same time, he said, he's not only saying to Timothy not to be ashamed of his testimony of the Lord and also him who is a prisoner of Christ. Paul was put in prison. Almost every church surrounding Gentiles came to know that Paul in the imprisonment because of the gospel. Timothy heard there is a tendency, there is a chance that Timothy will be ashamed of it because of gospel, because of Paul who is serving gospel. Then he said, verse 8, but joined with me in the suffering for the gospel. The meaning of the word join with me in the suffering is to suffer hardship together with someone. In Greek, with me is not there, but it was translated as join with me in suffering because someone in this context is Paul. Join with me. We have to suffer with others. That is the Paul commanding Timothy. It is an urgency. It is urgency. It is not you suffer later when you have everything, then you suffer for the Christ. It is urgency. You suffer now. Join with me. I am suffering for Christ. You should suffer for Christ. He is exhorting. He is commanding Timothy. So that's the theme of this passage. We can say suffer for the saving gospel without shame. Without shame. Two actions of God that motivate us to suffer for the gospel. First action of God that motivates us to suffer for the gospel is God empowers us to suffer for the gospel. God empowers, God gives power to suffer for the gospel. Look at verse 8. It says, Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. According to power of God. Meaning of the word power means it is potential for functioning in some way. That means might. We can say strength, force, capability. Suffer for gospel with God's power, God's capability. God is giving strength to us to suffer. That is the first motivation, brothers. We cannot suffer for the gospel by ourselves. God is the one who gives the strength to suffer. God is powerful to give strength. Don't think that I am suffering for Christ because of my power, but God's power. The power of God enabling all of us. Two things we can see God's power. The first thing we can see in strengthening his servants. We can see his power in the strengthening his servants. Look at verse 8. It says, right, of me prisoner, join with me in the suffering for the gospel. Here, Paul is suffering already. He was in the imprisonment, right? At the same time, he mentioned his prisoner. Here, Paul is the best example of suffering for Christ. He is commanding Timothy to suffer with urgency, without shame. He is doing that before he tells to Timothy. Actually, he's doing. Paul is the best example of suffering for the gospel. For example, Acts chapter 14, verse 19, it says, at Lystra, Jews stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. If you see verse 20, you will be shocked. I shocked because of verse 20. It says, he got up and entered the city. Next, he went with Barnabas to Derbe and he preached there and many were saved. After stoning him, he got up, he went to the same city. Only God can do this. God can give strength to like that. Without God, he cannot do that kind of ministry. After stoning, I would run if I am there. But Paul is going again in that city. He stayed. Next day, he went to other city, Derbe. That means God is giving more strength to Paul. That's why Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, my son, see, you suffer not because of your strength, because of God's strength. He empowers you. He gives strength to you. That is the encouragement. If you see 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, we can see list of Paul's suffering for the gospel and for the church. It says verse 23 to 28. It is a big passage, but just I want to read you how Paul suffered for Christ, for the gospel by his power. Verse 23, it says, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 28, it says, I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without numbers, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. He did not have clothes to wear for him sometimes. We can see hardship of Paul. Paul was suffering for the gospel because God is giving strength to him. Otherwise, he cannot serve. He cannot serve. Brothers and In this way, God is showing his power in strengthening his servants and also in producing the gospel progress. In producing the gospel progress, we can see God's power. Look at verse 8 says, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel. Here Paul is giving the reason why a pastor or minister should suffer with him for the advantage of the gospel. We can understand now Paul is commanding to Timothy to suffer for the advantage of, it says right, for the gospel. In Greek idea, it's like date of advantage. It's like for the advantage of the gospel, you must suffer. You must suffer for the advantage of gospel. Brothers, if Timothy stops witnessing about gospel because of suffering, then who will share the gospel? No one will believe God if ministers are ashamed of it because of suffering. Who will believe in God? So Paul is, do not be ashamed of it and suffer for it, because God is saving many sinners through this gospel. Through this gospel. I like John Patton. John Patton went to New Hebrides Islands to be a missionary. They were man-eating cannibals. They eat man. Patton went and he took his wife after he had gone there. A couple of months, his wife gave birth to his son. Son died. After that, wife also died. Patton, he slept over the grave so that these people may not come and dig the making hole and take bodies and eat. After, it is God's grace, God's strength, he stayed 35 years. He says that when he is coming back, at the end of 35 years, he said, when I came here, I heard the cry of cannibals. As I leave, I hear the ringing of the church bells. God changed even these people, those who eat man's body. Because if you think it is hardship, it is difficult for me to go to that place, how those people will be saved? God is giving strength to John Patton or Paul or Timothy or you and me. He's the one who is giving strength. Brothers, if God empowered Paul and all his servants, then he will give strength to you to suffer for him. You have the motivation, that is gospel. If you suffer for him, the gospel will grow through your suffering. Don't underestimate God's power, which gives strength and energy to work hard for his gospel ministry. Maybe you may not having persecution from outside, but let me ask you practically, are you willing to work hard to study his word while you are studying here? Studying here is not easy. It's like almost persecution, I can say that. If Pastor Chris comes here, then you come to know that if Greek and Hebrew class starts, then you come to know that you lose your sleep. You will sleep 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. But are you willing to suffer? Maybe you may not having suffer from outside, but are you willing to suffer for the gospel, for his word, so that you can serve the church, so that you can share the gospel, the knowing Christ more and more? For that you have to suffer. If you are not willing to suffer for the studies, how you suffer when enemies come with knives? They are going to kill your children. They are going to kill you, your wife in front of you. How you will stand? You start with studying in PTS, wherever you are. If you are studying Word of God, work hard. God will give strength for that also. God will give strength for you. Second action of God that motivates us to suffer for the gospel is God leads us through the gospel. Verse 9 to 10. Verse 9 says, who has saved us, called us with holy calling, according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. The saving work has been finished by God, not by us. Verse 10 says, Jesus abolished the death, brought life and immortality to light through gospel. Paul here motivating Timothy by reminding God who saves, God who leaded him for the gospel. You know that the meaning of the salvation, saving, is to save from destruction, to save from eternal death. This is a salvation from God's wrath. This truth will encourage him to suffer for the gospel, because only this gospel saved him from eternal punishment. Suffering from man is nothing compared to suffer in the hands of God. God saved you from his wrath because you are a sinner. We should not be afraid of man. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. God supposed to kill you in hell, but God saved you. God saved you. We should not fear of this man. These things encouraging Timothy to suffer for the gospel. If you worried about these people, human people who kills your body, but remember God saved you from his wrath. He saved you from eternal punishment. Here we see two key aspects of God's leadership in our lives. First key aspect of God's leadership in our lives is sovereign grace. We can see that God's sovereign grace, verse 9, we can see that. Look at verse 9, says, who has saved us, called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Here, who refers to God? God is the one who is giving grace, one who called you, saved you, not according to your works, but according to his grace, his own purpose. We can see sovereign grace here. God is saving us by his sovereign grace. Four undoubtful facts that prove God saved us. God's work is sovereign. First undoubtful fact that proves God's work is sovereign is we are saved by his holy call. We are saved by his holy call. See verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. God's calling is fundamental. The doctrine of for the Paul, it expressed the belief in God's election based on his desire and grace, totally apart from human works. Based on this praise, we know two great truths here. Those are the election of God, sanctification of believers. Two things come together. God calls believers through Christ, through gospel. This emphasizes divine initiative. God took initiative action, that is calling his people. God called us, so he himself took the initiative action to save us. It is not good to say that I accepted God, believed in him, repented of my sins without telling his call. We accepted, believed, repented, not because we are so concerned about our spiritual life. We repented, we believed in God because God called us. God decided to save you. That is the motivation. We can see that. Many people used to say that in their testimony that I believed, I went there, I trusted God, but they won't talk about God's calling, God's grace. The gospel is being shared in India and Nepal. Why are people not coming to Christ, dying in their sins? Because God did not call them. Not because we are so concerned about our spiritual life. We are seeking God. God saved us. No, God saved us because He called us. He did not call everybody. That is encouraging Timothy to suffer for the gospel. Let me tell you one thing. Noah was constructing the ark because we are going through Book of Genesis in our church Bible study. Just amazing God's truth we are learning from Genesis. The Noah was constructing the ark for 120 years and preached for 120 years in the evening, constructing the ark and going and preaching gospel in the evening. How many came to know Christ? How many entered the ark? Only his family. Eight of them entered the ark. The remaining were enjoying, celebrating, and doing sin, not respecting Christ, respecting God. Maybe we say that Noah did not made outline nicely. Noah he did not read that grammar construction properly. He did not introduce his sermon nicely. He did not conclude his sermon nicely. If we will be there, we can save some more people. No. Not like that. Not because of our preaching, God is saving us. Because of His call. God called Noah. He entered the ark. His family entered the ark. Remaining won't enter because, not because of Noah did not preach well, because God did not call them. Paul is encouraging Timothy. Listen, Timothy, God called you. God saved you by His call. This will encourage you to suffer for the gospel, to live for Him. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. It says, "And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified." God saved believers and called them to holy calling. That means He predestined, whom He predestined, whom He selected, chosen, He called, He saved. Timothy, God had chosen Timothy and called him and saved him. But it is another aspect, sanctification. It says to a holy calling. God called Timothy to be holy as God Himself is holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2 says, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling." God called us to be holy because He is holy. A holy God called sinners to live a holy life after His redemption. It is a package, salvation package. Even your sanctification, my sanctification is not based on our works, based on grace and faith. He enables to live holy life. Why God called Timothy to be holy? So why Paul is reminding Timothy? Because he has some sin in his life. If you go to the context, having timidity is a sin, and being ashamed of testimony is a sin, because we are more fearful than man, more fearful of man rather God. We are not fearing God, just we are fearing man. So that is also sin. I want to bring another idea that preaching is a command. If preacher is not preaching, then he sins. If Timothy is not testifying because of suffering, then he is not living according to his call. He is sinning if he is ashamed of the gospel. Even doing ministry is a package of salvation, brothers and God saved Timothy so that he must live a holy life, that is preaching Christ without shame, without timidity. Brothers, are you feeling that I will not be able to do ministry because of hardship in ministry, because of other hardship in the life? But remember, God who saved you, called you by His sovereign work. This will motivate you more to suffer for the gospel. He called. Second undoubtful fact that proves God's work is sovereign, that is, We were not saved by our works. We are not saved by our works. Look at verse 9. It says, who has saved us and called us with holy calling, not according to our works. God did not save us, not according to our works, but according to his works, cross works. He did not save us, not the standard of our works. It is talking about righteous works. No one is righteous on the earth. If you read Bible properly, no one is righteous on the earth. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, there is none righteous, even not even one. Somebody says, I am righteous person. He is lying. Bible says, not even one. God did not save us, not because of our works. He saved us because of his grace, his call. We know that Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 says that all our righteous deeds are like filthy garments. Because you are reading Bible, because you are singing song, because you are doing some other things for good works, helping poor people, by seeing those all things, God did not save you. God saved you by his sovereign grace. By his grace he saved, not because of our works. The salvation has nothing to do with human merit or righteous work. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. Even your righteous works is filthy rag. God did not save you. Timothy, remember, God did not save you because of your works, because of his sovereign grace, his election. If God has done that much work for you, why don't you suffer for the gospel? That is the connection. Why Paul is bringing the gospel here, motivating Timothy. Brothers, many pastors are involved in social work by keeping aside preaching of gospel. It may lead weak church members to fall in the trap of work-based salvation. They're leaving Bible, not preaching gospel, just going and helping poor people. Some people think if you do good works, righteous works, then we will go to heaven. There are some religious, they believe that if you do good works, we will go to heaven. If pastors are beginning to start do social works, not preaching gospel, then people will go astray from the gospel. Not only that, most of the preaching in the church nowadays is moral, ethical, motivational speeches. Don't smoke, always wear white shirt. Why you went outside without carrying a bag which is in Bible? Why you are praying by sitting in the chair? Please sit on the floor and kneel down. Yes, we kneel down and pray. That is not sin. But telling only human traditions, telling which is not written in the Bible, then people think by doing these all things, I am saved, I go to heaven. Brothers, I want to encourage you. You should preach like this. Brothers, we are all sinners. No one is righteous. Run to righteous God who saves you. Don't make self-righteous men and women through your sermon which is on traditions of man. Our preaching, our gospel preaching should centered off our weakness and God's strength. You must remind in your sermons. Third and doubtful fact that proves God's work is sovereign. That is, we are saved by his own plan. Look at verse 9 says, who has saved us and called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. According to his own purpose. The meaning of the word purpose is, which is planned in advance. We can say his will. Here Paul is saying God did not save us, called us, not according to our righteous works, but according to his own purpose, own plan, own will. He planned beforehand the foundation of the world. He saved us according to his eternal purpose. Brothers, God saved us. God saved Timothy, Paul, based on his purpose, not our will, our purpose. Romans chapter 9 verse 11 says, "For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, not because of works, but because of his him who calls." We can see God's purpose in Jacob's life. God did not save Esau because he did not choose. God had plan. God had purpose on Jacob, at the same time Paul and Timothy and even me. Look at the phrase, his own purpose, his own, which emphasizes the sovereignty of God's decision. Jacob's election was decided before birth, before he had do good and bad. God has decided by his own purpose. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 says, "Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will." Here Paul is encouraging Timothy by explaining the truth of God's purpose in his life before the foundation of the world. Timothy, listen, this is not your will. This is not your purpose to be saved. But God decided to save you. He planned before the foundation of the world. This will encourage you to suffer for the gospel, to stand for the gospel. Brothers, God does not save anybody based on human purpose, but his purpose. If you are here studying the Bible, knowing him, because he had planned you before the foundation of the world. It is not accident. Before he created heaven and earth, he thought about you. He planned about your salvation. Fourth undoubtable fact that proves God's work is sovereign is, we are saved by his grace, according to his own purpose and also his own grace. Verse 9. Grace has God's merited favor. You don't deserve the things, but you got it. That is grace. Let me explain. Did you watch an IAS first ranker? If you do interview with that IAS first ranker, he or she says, "I work hard. 15 hours I work hard. I tried to write exam 3 times. I failed. This time I wrote, I passed." If she got or he gets exam, that job, IAS, collector job, he deserves because of his hard work. If President of India or somebody called you and you did not study well, you did not write an exam, just he called you, "Badal, come, you are the collector." He made you collector. "I did not write any exam." "No, I made you collector." "I did not study. I don't know anything." "No, you are collector." You did not deserve the grace. You did not deserve the job, that job. But collector, that president gave you that. That is the grace. I remember to explain clearly that one time, one of the chief ministers in Andhra, he implemented one policy for the benefit of students. If one student passed every subject, he failed with 1 mark in one subject, that person will be passed. 35 marks is pass mark. If that person gets 34, he passed. That is grace mark. That is called grace mark. He did not deserve to be passed, but this chief minister made him pass. That is grace. Our salvation also like that, brothers. You do not deserve his grace. You deserve his wrath because of your sinful nature. You know how you are, how sinful you are. God has to punish us, but he gave his grace in Christ. That is salvation. One of the questions will rise that because of Christ, we were saved by grace. What about Old Testament people? How did they save? Even they were saved by grace through faith. Let me tell, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6 verse 8. Enoch also walked with God by faith. He did not see the death because of his faith. Abraham lived in the Lord. He recounted it to him as righteous. Genesis 15 verse 6. Even faith is the gift of God. We are believing in God because his grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." It is the gift of God. Brothers, this is a motivation to you not to be ashamed of it and suffer for it. You did not do anything to be saved, but God's sovereign grace saved you. God himself saved you. Why you are ashamed of it? Why you are not willing to suffer for it? Just Paul is encouraging Timothy. The second key aspect of God's leadership in our lives is Christ-centered grace. Christ-centered grace. Look at verse 9, part B to 10, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. We know that he was saved by grace. God is the source of grace. He has given us grace only in Christ, but not in any other person. You can see clearly that three characteristics of Christ as our only Savior. Three characteristics of Christ as our only Savior. First characteristics of Christ is he is our eternal Savior. He is our eternal Savior. Christ is giving his grace from eternity. From eternity. Verse 9 it says, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. The grace was given to Timothy in Christ. When did God give? Granted his grace to Timothy and all of us? From all eternity. God gave us grace before the eternal time. This time is before the foundation of the world. Before there was no time, God gave grace to Timothy and Paul, all of us. That is God's plan, Christ being Savior. Why I said Christ is our eternal Savior? Because if God granted us grace before all eternity in Christ, this is showing Christ is eternal. Christ is eternal. At the same time, he is an eternal Savior. Because God saves through Christ, in Christ, not other ways. God decided to send his Son to the world before all eternity. All eternity. God can save, give grace to us only through Christ, who is our Savior. Savior. This is showing his pre-existence. His origin did not begin at his human birth at Bethlehem. He was there. God has given us spiritually in Christ his grace. Christ is eternal Savior. Brothers, when you are sharing gospel, there are many people used to say, Jesus came before 2000 years ago. Why you are serving him? Why you left your job and going seminary and studying those things? Because you are studying, you are serving one who is eternal Savior. He is eternal Savior. That will motivate you to suffer for him. The second characteristic of Christ as our only Savior is, he is our humble Savior. He is our humble Savior. Look at verse 10, part A. Says, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Grace has been revealed. That means before it was not manifested. Before, but it was hidden. But now manifested. How? By the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God manifested clearly by sending his son on the earth as human being. This is talking about the incarnation of the Christ Jesus. God has granted grace spiritually before all time. But God manifested his grace in Christ by sending his son. Jesus Christ, being pre-existing God who owns everything, to give God's grace to us, he became humble. This is amazing love of our Savior, that he humbled himself to show the Father's grace to sinners. John Gospel chapter 1 verse 14 to 16, if you see, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 15 says, John testifying about him and says that he who comes after me has a higher ranker than I, for he existed before me. Here John the Baptist saying that Jesus is pre-existing. Then verse 16 it says, For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. I think this passage is almost parallel to John Gospel chapter 1 verse 14 to 16. We can see Jesus is pre-existing Savior. Pre-existed, John the Baptist said. So he came to earth, then grace upon grace we are receiving. Whatever Christ is giving his grace, God has given through him to us. Grace comes through him. That happened because of his humility, brothers. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 to 8 it says, he humbled himself by not regarding equality with God thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, became a bond servant and obedient. Brothers, these are the way how God manifested his grace, that is by appearing of Christ. Our Christ is humble Savior. If Christ is not humbled himself, if Christ thought, I want to be in glorious position eternally, I don't want to go to suffer, then he won't save anybody. He won't save Timothy. These things are encouraging Timothy so that he can suffer. Third characteristics of Christ as our only Savior is, he is our powerful Savior. Chapter verse 10 says, who abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Two reasons why he is our powerful Savior. The first reason is, he destroyed the power of death. He destroyed the power of death. It says abolished. Who abolished the death? The meaning of the word abolished is to make inactive, to remove of its strength, to deprive of force, influence, power, make of none effect. Here, interesting thing, Christ as a powerful Savior deprived of force, removed influence, the power of death. Because of Christ's work on the cross and resurrection, death lost its power and effectiveness in believers' life. He destroyed the power of death. Jesus destroyed the power of spiritual death, ultimately as well as physical death. Even though Christians die, one day they will rise. Christ is going to rise them. I mentioned that Enoch, he did not see death because Christ is going to destroy the death. Because he believed in Messiah, in God. Who believed in God, who believed in Christ's grace, they won't see the death because Christ destroyed the death, its power. It is like 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 55. It says, O death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Thanks to be God who gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to give victory to us through Christ over death. We won't see the death. How does it motivate Timothy and us to suffer for the gospel? People could persecute and kill our body, not our soul. They may kill our body if we are serving for the gospel, but they did not kill our soul. The second reason why he is our powerful savior is he brought life and immortality. Verse 10 part B, who abolished the death and brought life and immortality to light through gospel. Here Paul is saying that through the gospel, Christ brought life, immortality to the light. Paul is saying that only the gospel clearly shows the eternal life that comes through Christ from God, which is the only true eternal life that is opposite of eternal death. Christ abolished, Christ destroyed the power of death, just he gave his life, eternal life, so that we can live eternally in the presence of God. Believing the death, resurrection of Christ, of our Savior, knowing Jesus and who has sent him, is eternal life. Eternal life that happened because of gospel. Christ not only brought life through the gospel, but also immortality. The meaning of immortality is imperishability, the state of not being subject to decay. Of the bodies of believer, exempt from decay after the resurrection. Christ is going to give imperishable body. Imperishable body. We have seen many times people died because of persecution, but Christ is going to give imperishable body to them. We live eternally, brothers. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it raised on imperishable body. Verse 50, it says, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. If you're reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, then we can know that God is going to give imperishable body that happened because of gospel, through gospel. These things are encouraging Timothy. Be ready, urgently suffer for the gospel because of Christ-centered grace and sovereign grace saved you. Brothers, people can kill and destroy pastors and missionaries, but Christ will give a new imperishable body to them and you and me. One day we may die after serving Christ, but he is going to give eternal life and imperishable body for us. Just we have seen the suffer for the saving gospel without shame. We have seen two actions of God that motivate us. Suffer for the gospel. He empowers us to suffer for the gospel. He leads us through the gospel. Are you willing to suffer for the gospel? That is God's will. If you have an easy life, then if you are not suffering for the gospel. Let me speak to you practically. One of the ways suffer for gospel is willing to work hard. Willing to break your body with sleepless nights and restless days by studying in Bible, in a PTS. If you are not getting outside persecution, just work hard in your studies. Working hard in the preparation of the sermon. In October 1536, William Tyndale was led out of the castle toward the southern gate of the town, England. When he arrived at the open space, in the center was a large pillar of wood in the form of cross and as tall as man. Tyndale stood immobile, his eyes looking toward the common people. His lips moved with a final impassioned prayer that resounded around the place of execution. He prayed like this, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. His feet were bound to stake. The iron chains fastened around his neck. Piles of brushwood, logs were stalked around him to burn him. They allowed the body to fall into the glowing heat of the fire. More brushwood was peeled on top, and people marveled at the patience, sufferings of Master Tyndale at the time of his execution. Let me tell you, within 4 years, English translation of the Bible were published in England at King's order. King said, publish English Bible, translate the Bible into English language. All were based on Tyndale's work. People work hard for the gospel. They have done something for the gospel, for Christ. The same message Paul is giving us, exhorting us, commanding us, suffer for the gospel without shame, because it has fruitfulness. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we are weak. Help us to be strong, to live for you. Lord, we have many godly men before us who served you, who suffered for the gospel, not because of their strength, because you gave strength to them. Lord, help us to have that mind, that heart to suffer for the gospel while we are studying your word. Especially remember each and every one of us as your ministers. We need your grace, your mercy, your love, your strength in our life. Help us to obey you in our life. That is preaching gospel, preaching Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, brothers. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.